Welcome to the Ether. Today is Monday, May 1st, 2023. Today on the Ether, the IBC Gang Market Recap and Q&A with Leap Wallet, hosted by Crypto Tank. Let's take a listen.
What's up, everybody? Guys, I hope you guys are all doing well today. My name is Tank. I represent the IBC Gang channel. It looks like, I'm going to be very honest with you, it looks like we ran into a little bit of a scheduling mishap. It looks like the guys from Leap shouldn't be here for like another, I think, what's Eastern time zone, 40 minutes or so, but that's okay. We can go ahead and get into the markets, have a little powwow before so. What's up, Terra Spaces? What's up, Sasha? What's up, Argus? What's up, everybody? Apologies about that. I normally go live at 9:15, and so got my crosshairs, got my reds and blues all mixed up. But in any case, since we're not going to go live, I guess we can talk about the crypto markets and what we're dealing with fundamentally as a whole for a little bit before our friends join us. What's up, Chris? If anybody would like to join us, since we do have a little bit of time, I'm going to open it up for anybody to jump on in here and just chill. Again, I apologize. Our friends will be with us from Leap here in just a few minutes, hopefully sooner rather than later. It is on me. I'm a goof. I normally don't do spaces as much as some others do. So we got some time to kill. With that being said, before I go any further, I do want to give a humongous, humongous shout out to everybody within the Cosmos ecosystem. Without you guys, none of this stuff works. None of this stuff matters. So you guys are the most important people in the whole world. Guys, remember, not the crypto markets, not your everyday life, not your jobs. None of this stuff works without you guys. So if you feel like you are not being treated like you're the most important person in the whole world, I mean, you got to do your duties, right? Some of us are still peons and stuff like that. But if you can do anything about your environment, make sure you do so. Make sure you go to a place and spend your energy in a place where it is appreciated, at least somewhat, to some degree, right? Because again, without any of you guys, none of this stuff matters or works. So shout outs to all of you guys, especially IBC gang members, cosmonauts through and through. I love you guys to death. Next group of people I want to give a shout out to is our preferred validator of choice. It's Cosmos Spaces. We absolutely love Cosmos Spaces. If you guys don't know, they run a great validator system set up within our ecosystem. That is the Cosmos ecosystem. And also, not only do they run great validators, but they run relayers, and they are very, very engaged with the community, jumping in on community discussions whenever possible and trying to educate people whenever possible as well. So again, shout outs to you guys and shout outs to Cosmos Spaces, which again is our preferred validator of choice. They don't support IBC Gang Channel in any kind of financial way. Our agreement is they support you guys during community game days. So it's more like they're supporting you, and our partnership is a sponsorship of you guys that are the IBC Gang, the cosmonauts throughout our ecosystem, because you guys could possibly win some free NFTs and some free Juno, courtesy of Cosmos Spaces whenever we do our community game days, which is every other Thursday, which is coming up next Thursday. Everybody is invited throughout the greater Cosmos ecosystem and beyond. Matter of fact, we've onboarded quite a few different people within different platforms, social media platforms, not Twitter, but Twitch, our streaming platform, since doing our community game days. So it's just our little way of, you know, having fun throughout the bear market, also trying to onboard people and educate people. And it's our way of partnering with groups such as Cosmos Spaces, which support you. Support the people who support you guys, guys. Don't always just, I don't know, I'm not going to give you guys financial advice, but be mindful of, like, you know, supporting people that always just want to take from you or always just asking more of you. Again, none of this stuff works without you guys. I see a couple of more people up in the house. Shroot, what's up, man? Mr. Flix, what's up, IBC Mafia? Guys, I goofed. We got a little bit more to talk about, or a little bit time to talk about the markets, because I got so pressured into thinking I got to go live at 9:15 and our space isn't until 10. So, let me just send him a message. God, looks like I got a little bit early due to habits. Join when you can. Oh, gosh. Let's talk about the markets, though. Let's actually jump on into it. And if anybody wants to jump on into the chat, just raise your hand. I'll bring you on up here. No harm, no foul. We can just ramble for a bit, right? You guys know I can ramble for a bit. Guys, right now I'm taking a look at the Dow Jones. In the traditional bug of markets, the Dow Jones is actually up just a smidget, 0.16%. It's about $55, give or take. One thing, I know you guys can't see this, but one thing on my charts is we are actually above the resistance line on the daily time frame for the first time in a very long time. This resistance line started on the 30th of November, 2022. Ever since, there has only been one other time that we've actually cut higher above that resistance line, which was a wick high, and that was on December 13th. Ever since that, the November 30th timeframe when we started formulating this resistance line, we have stayed underneath that resistance line the entire time, always getting rejected on it. And today, just by a smidget, and that's nothing to brag about, but just by a smidget, we're above it ever so slightly on the daily time frame. If I'm taking a look at Market Cipher B, which houses the momentum waves and RSIs, we do have the RSIs climbing up to that 9,900 point range on the charts, which, you know, usually around that 100 range, if you guys don't know anything about Market Cipher, that usually would be a good point for the RSIs to cool off and get rejected off of. That doesn't mean that we can't vibe on that higher side of about 95 to 100 and stay on that upper range. But that usually does, whenever we get close to that 100 range, kind of bring us into a range of exhaustion, I would say, with the RSIs. Now, they are both clearly pointing back up for the Dow Jones quite well. And so that's one good thing. But we are also seeing us back into the positive money flow on top of that. So we have two out of three that I like to look at and I like to take in as far as considering what I'm seeing on Market Cipher B. So we're seeing positive money flow, RSIs pointing upwards on the Dow Jones daily time frame using Market Cipher. And then just the other day, we had a trigger green buy dot in conjunction with all the other things that we're seeing with Market Cipher B, the momentum waves, RSIs, yada, yada, yada. That's three of three. And today we have to actually be patient to see if it fully confirms. Yeah, the last time we had that dot flash, you got to remember that was actually, I believe it was Friday. What was the 28th, guys? Was that Friday? Let me go back. Yeah, it was Friday. So we had the end of the month close. We had a green dot flash on Friday. As you guys have seen, I've put out before, I like to give not financial advice, but I like to give the things that I'm seeing on the charts equal or, if at all possible, more time to fully confirm. So equal or more time to confirm. And again, guys, if we wait out today, price action stays positive, even just by a smidget, that green dot will confirm. And that means we got all three go signals from Market Cipher B. It's not telling you to front run the train, right? I'm not saying that's like, just because we get all three flashing positive, that doesn't mean like, oh, throw everything you have in the kitchen sink at the markets. That's just an overall better sign than anything else. We have all three indicators that I like to hold weight with Market Cipher B flashing for the Dow Jones on the daily time frame. If we close at a positive stance today, if we close above the resistance line, that resistance line on Market Cipher A, which are traditional candlesticks, is right around $34,043.04 for the Dow Jones. Right now, we are above that just a smidget, guys, just a little bit at 34,162 and some change. So again, Dow Jones, traditional muggle market, looking pretty freaking good. You know, can't really complain about that. Guys, I see a lot of people coming in here back and forth. What's up, Chad? What's up, Matt? If anybody wants to join in, again, I'll say it many, probably more times. Feel free to, I jumped the gun. Apologies. And because I was so used to going live at 9:15. Forgot that I scheduled this with them 30 minutes from now. So we're just going to talk about the markets, and then we're going to be graced by Leap Wallet and their team. Guys, I'm really excited to actually talk with Leap. I think they're one of the better wallets out there in our space. I see them doing like really great things, really, really working on things. But so yeah, I'm really excited to hear from them. And whatnot. But again, I apologize, guys. You guys know me. I'm a freaking doofus. I jumped the gun a little bit. I'm not a professional spacer, you know, whatever. I do live streams on my time, on my terms. So it is what it is, guys. I apologize. Hopefully you guys have some free time and want to jump in on the conversation. If not, you guys know I can just ramble for hours. But yeah, so that's what I'm seeing on the Dow Jones, guys. Overall, even with the fundamental landscape being what it is, and, you know, more banks collapsing and being absorbed. As you guys know, another bank just collapsed and got absorbed by I'm drawing it blank right now. Was it JP Morgan? So yeah, that's fun times, right? And I actually do think that more and more of these smaller banks, I'm calling them smaller bank, regional banks, are going to be collapsing and getting absorbed by the bigger banks. That's just the name of the game, guys. If you guys don't know, that's basically how all companies operate, especially financial institutions and tech heavy companies. They just absorb the competition, absorb the smaller liquidity, kind of like in crypto, right? Like, we just absorb the smaller fish and we keep swimming in our pond. It happens every decade or so. And right now we're just seeing the same things, the same patterns play out yet again, guys. So unfortunate for these smallers, but the people, like I'm talking with the investor hat on, right? The people that have money are going to do very, very well. Let me bring up Rashido. What's up, buddy?
You know, all these banks change over too when that happened. Like, people were just getting absorbed left and right. I just don't think it was as loud because, you know, internet wasn't the way it was back then. But yeah, it's happening. And you know, we also have the Saudis and everything, buddy, working together to try to get everybody off the US dollar and go to the Chinese yuan. So we have that going on the other side of the world too.
Yeah, there's a lot of economies are pivoting away from using the dollar to settle with as far as their trade and their commerce goes. And we're seeing it happen. It seems like every single day we're getting another tweet or another Google, like, you know, something pop up. I don't know wherever you guys get your news from, but it seems like no matter where you're getting your news from, it seems like there's another one every single week popping up saying, you know, we're done with the dollar. And it doesn't surprise me. You know, it's people have been saying this and warning our government, you know, and the rest of the world for years now about how we've been managing the dollar and what we've been doing. And as far as the U.S. being in debt and the debt never being able to actually being satisfied. Like, it's just, you know, that saying where it's too big to fail, that's completely wrong. Like, things can fail really, really easy. It doesn't matter how big things are. But anyway, Chris. Do you have anything else you want to say about the Dow Jones before we move on to some of these other indexes?
No, I just think this might be the turnaround. Like, I see a lot of upward movement from here, but I just want to see, you know, some more money flow in. And I would like to see more people working. I'd like to see our government stop, you know, playing with this debt ceiling and figure out real freaking solutions instead of arguing about stuff in Congress that we don't need to be arguing about.
Yeah, it kind of always plays into it. We try not to talk political and stuff like that, but you guys, to be very honest with you guys, money is political. That's just, you know, the nature of the beast. And so when people try to tiptoe around that, like, I'm not going to apologize from one, obviously my political stance, it's my beliefs, it's my, you know, thought process. And, you know, quite frankly, it's my space, my show. So anybody always has their, you know, on and off switch that they can click at any given time. I'm just going to give you guys what I think is the reality of the matters at hand. And if people decide to disagree or, you know, not listen to it just because they think otherwise, like, that's on you, right? Like, I'm not here to fluff anything, to be very honest with you. But it's unfortunate that that is the matter. How you look at this current situation with the debt ceiling and what Republicans just put through. And to be very honest with you guys, I'm more conservative than anything else. I have a conservative mind state when it comes to business and a very libertarian I want to say with my emotions, because it's not really true, but yeah, it's just, I'm like one of those in the middle. I don't know what I am sometimes, but I'm very much conservative with a lot of things. But it's always kind of funny how you see these things play out leading up to the next election. And that's just what's happening again. I guess this is my point of it all, is we're just going into another chess match between Democrats and Republicans. It's a posturing match, and they are, it's like you said, Chris, they're playing with people's livelihoods. It's unfortunate, but, you know, that is the nature of the beast, and the markets and politics for that matter. So I, be very honest with you though. really don't see more people getting back to work. I see actually more and more people, and I'm just being very, very real, more and more people being let off or having a harder time finding work in the months to come, in the years to come, to be honest with you. And that's not just because of the market situation. I think it's more like the technical advances that we also have. These things being automated now, and then, like, you know, we have chat, what is it, GPT? There's so many different variations of freaking these AI programs and stuff like that. I can't even keep track of them. But with AI and everything, like, I think more and more people, and especially given blockchain, right? We're talking about crypto and blockchain. I think more and more people are going to be finding themselves in a jam than getting back to work. Is that fair, Chris?
I totally agree on that. Like, because I see it now. I see people getting let go. I see even on you see it on the news all the time. These big companies are letting go 5,000, 7,000, 8,000 employees. So it's definitely going to be a little more hurt on the work aspect before we get better there.
Yeah, for sure. We got Chad up here.
Yeah, I found it interesting that you said years of getting back. I think you're the first person I've heard say that. I think I kind of agree with you. This is not going to be a quick turnaround by no means. It takes a lot to change.
It took us years to get here, right? I don't know why people think this is going to be a quick turnaround. It took us years to dig this deep of a hole. Like, come on now, let's be realistic. You're not going to jump out of it in one swell, like, try. Like, it's not going to happen.
And I know you said you don't like to be political, but it really is. And like, America's had years and years and years of using their debt and their, ability as to use the dollar to settle debts just to kind of, bully people into doing things. And eventually, the people who are getting bullied are going to combine together and say, hey, we're going to do something else. You figure that out. And I think that's the point where we're at right now.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But yeah, I mean, as a business owner myself, I consider it a small business owner. We're scaling though, man, which is like, it's kind of crazy. But so anyway, I'll save that for later. But we are scaling upwards, and it's a really good time for us personally. But as a business owner, like, I'm seeing dealing with employing people and the rate of people that we go through, and it's like the weird. I don't know how I want to explain this, but like the weird. I don't want to call it a trend because it's unfortunate if it is a trend, but this weird new entitlement, or I would say like bubble or facade that people seem to be living in of importance or like normal, I guess, what they've gotten used to ever since the Corona situation happened for us is very, very interesting. And it kind of, as a business owner, is super frustrating, right? Because like we get a lot of people who are very underqualified and very overvaluated in their own mindset. And so like they think like they come to the workforce looking for a job but with all these weird demands. Like I gotta be off. And like I get it being a parent, right? Like I gotta be off. I can only work four days a week, and I can only work between this and this time, and I need to have this much insurance. I need to have like, and I'm like, how about you just like work on being at the job for a year before you come to the table with demands or whatnot. It's really weird. Have you guys been seeing this at all at your workforce? Or
yeah, actually, another thing too I've noticed too is that people can't take criticism either. These people I work with, like I've been talked to two different occasions because employees have been like, oh, he's being mean to me. And it's like, yo, if you're not doing your job, I'm going to come over and tell you what's wrong and what needs to be done to complete it. It's not an attack on you. And people can take the difference right now of being talked to about work and being like reprimanded and being like yelled at and told you're like a piece of crap. They think it's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what we get a lot. You know, it's definitely the constructive criticism of being employed. Like, this is called a job for a reason. You have duties. And then like when we kind of had to have sit downs with our employees or whatnot. I get that because we get that kind of pushback all the time where it's like, you hurt my feelings or whatever it is. It's like, you're not doing your job. That's the fact of the matter. So I don't know. We're seeing like this weird thing. And then when they do get let go, like the governments have been just giving them basically anything. You can get unemployment for anything. So why? Like, anyway, you kind of get into this thing. I guess I don't need to keep rambling about it because we definitely can. It's an ongoing situation, but it's been this privileged lifestyle that the government has been handing out for years that has been slowly conditioning the workforce and these younger the younger generation especially into this weird facade of self-righteousness or over value of themselves. And it's like, not to take away, I think everybody's valuable, right? But like, it hasn't been healthy. And so we're going to have to deal with it for many, many years, like I was saying to Chad. To move on though, because I know we have like about 20 more minutes until our friends join us here. Let's get into the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is actually down 0.19%, trading at 13,221. All in all, though, I think we're, again, like I've said in my live streams, really positioned well within the charts. Again, I'm always looking at things on the daily time frame. I use Market Cipher as my favorite oscillator and indicator tool of choice. There's many, many great oscillator indicator tools or programs that you can use out there on whatever platform you want to chart on. I like TradingView. Right now, we're well above the 200 SMA. We're well above some of these points of interest. If you take a zoomed out approach at what we've been doing with price action ever since hitting this floor and testing it three times back on October 13th, November 4th, and then again, right around December, late December, ever since creating that floor there, we've stair-stepped our way up to the next step, which was right around 11,800. And then we took another step. And now you're seeing us kind of tread on our third step, which is our higher lows, right around 12,691. And right now we're still above that step. It looks like we're making our way up to the next step, which is going to be 13,678, which is going to be probably resistance going forward. But hopefully, just like we've been seeing in the past, ever since making those lows, we just keep making this stair-stepping movement, which is slow and steady, maintainable, realistic, sustainable growth in the charts after seeing the bottom, three times right around that price of around 10,660. So again, long-term as an investor, I always speak as an investor. I never really talk to you guys like as a trader because I'm not a trader. I'm definitely more of an investor than anything else. Long-term, guys, this looks great. Like, you know, we've already hit our triple plus play. We've already taken profits. We're consistent profit takers. We're looking really, really good. So if it comes back below the 200 SMA, again, we have our 200 SMA strategy. If you guys don't know anything about that, check out our YouTube channel. It's on IBC Gang on YouTube. And you just look for the 200 SMA strategy. That's our strategy to find where the flooring position is going to be within the markets. If we cut below, the price action cuts below the 200 SMA for 15 to 20 days or more, not telling you where the floor is, but realistically where that landing pad might be, where you might actually find a flooring position to start DCAing into, is what the 200 SMA strategy is showing you guys. So new strategy is if we turn around on everything all the way down to 9,258. But right now we're so far away from things and we have so many levels of support to go down to before we break, the lower lows like we were. I'm just not worried about it. You know, so long term, this looks absolutely fine. We have to have our ebbs and flows. We have to have our down days to keep going up. That's just the nature of the beast. That's the way the markets work. And so everybody that tries to get you all caught up in the emotional response with their content, where it's like, look at the 4 hour, look at the 1 hour, 24 minutes telling us this. They're talking more as traders. And you will get emotionally cut to ribbons if you keep listening to those people and not like, you know, again, do you, if you're a trader and you're just trying to scalp things and get in and out, you know, hey, do your vagabond roguey shit, your ninja stuff. I don't care. But like, if you really want to be in this game long-term, right, you need to zoom out. You need to take a more realistic approach and stance on things. And right now, like, I'm just not even worried about all that. I'm not even worried about it one bit until we come down and break these zones of support that we have. Again, we would have to come down, break for the NASDAQ 12,677. We'd have to break the 200 SMA, which is right around 12. Then we'd have to come back down to 11,200. And then the ultimate low that we found support three times in the past, which was 10,6 and some change. Like, guys, I'm not even worried. I'm not even worried. And then, you know, if that happens, I'm just going right back to the 200 SMA strategy. Rinse or repeat, baby. Let's use house money to make more money, right? Like it looks great right now as far as a long-term investor goes. Let's move on to the Russell. The Russell is actually up 0.93%. It's been struggling to get above some key critical levels. Again, guys, it needs to get above the 200 SMA, still below the 200 SMA. It's been vibing, finding a lot of support right around 173. The ultimate low, though, if it breaks 173, is right around 162. Again, guys, until that happens, like, we can just go sideways. It's fine. You know, it's absolutely fine there. Then if we go into the SPX, which is the S&P 500, if you guys don't know all these little turns and stuff like that, it's actually up just a smidget, $6.90, and some change, I should say, because it's fluctuating. But that's basically 0.16%. We are trying to get over our current level of resistance, which is literally basically right where we are right now, trading at 4,176. If you zoom out on the chart, you can see it in the past. It was previous support back here on March 9th, March 10th, when we bounced off of it. Then when we came here on Friday, June 3rd, it was resistance. And then if you look just recently, right around February 2nd, again, resistance. So previous resistance and or support usually does hold up as resistance and or support going forward. Until we actually break that resistance and or support going forward, just relax. Act like you've been to this prom or dance with the same old girlfriend that you've been dating in high school for some time now, and just chill out. Go hang out on the wall or spike the punch and, you know, just vibe with it. It's absolutely fine. I personally, just the way that I'm at with the S&P and you know, my investing and getting in and out on things, I don't really like to test previous resistance. I'm not like, I guess you can kind of call it like a breakout trader. Like, is it going to break out of this resistance? You know, I don't really, especially with the market structure right now. And like, I think it was Chris saying, liking to see more volume, more participation, more liquidity. With everything that's happening out there in the world right now, like, I'm just not vibing with that. I'm not cool with it. I'd like to see other people like bring that through, price action, bring that through. And then if it does, great, because if we break through that little glass ceiling, that's fine. We can dive on to the next point of resistance, which, again, if we break through the S&P 500 where we are right now, the next level of resistance, guys, is going to be right around $4,300. Mark my words, it's going to be right around $4,300. And so if you have the opportunity and you maybe took some positions at the lower price points when we were making the stair-stepping movements, just like the NASDAQ, like, consider, yet again, not telling you financial advice, but at least always consider to be a profit taker. That's what separates winners from losers. That's what separates people from being in this game long-term versus people who were just speculating maybe and thinking that they were investors and trying to do that long swing of a year. Like, really, my humble opinion, again, guys, is this: if you're making long-term investments and you keep saying that that's what you're doing, but it's under 3 years, you're not really a long-term investor. You're like a speculative long-term trader more than anything, right? So again, guys, just something for you guys to think about. I'm not trying to talk down to anybody, but just giving people realistic points, you know, so that they can digest that within their trading career or investing career. Again, I speak as an investor, and hopefully find some nourishment with what I'm saying, guys. You really got to zoom out and get a better fundamental like view of the landscape so that you can assess your environment and what's happening within this battle zone, because it's all a battle zone, right? And if you just kind of focus on what's happening right in front of you, the 5 feet that's in front of you, you're never going to see that bombshell get deployed from a distance and fucking nuke you later. Like, you got to pay attention and zoom out. So again, guys, right now, looking fine with the S&P 500. We got to get above it. If we get above it, guys, we're going to find resistance right around $4,300. If we don't, look for the 200 SMA. That's $39.69. Kind of laughing at that because I'm immature. And then again, guys, if that breaks down, we're going to look for 38.44, and then we're going to find the ultimate low, which is right around 36.35. If we break below the 200 SMA and we stay below that for 15 to 20 plus days, I'm looking for the new flooring position to take place right around 3,000. If you guys want to see this visually, watch the Twitch channel, or I stream this also Monday, Wednesday, and Friday along with Twitch to my Twitter. So again, if you guys want to see these charts, you guys want to visually see what I'm been saying right now, like, tune in, right? That's all I can say. I've used a 200 SMA strategy combined with my 4x4 DCA strategy on the traditional mogul markets, these index charts. And I've literally made a fortune throughout the years doing so. I've nailed this 2 out of 3. We didn't catch the Dow Jones, but if we would have, we would have freaking nailed it as well. But we've absolutely nailed this, and there's a lot of weight to this, guys. So again, not trying to toot my own horn, but, you know, the proof is in the pudding. So if you guys want to see what I'm talking about and take a more realistic, conservative stance on your entering the market or what you're looking at least consider tuning in every once in a while. If you don't enjoy it, fine. Like unsubscribe, unfollow, whatever. Like no harm, no foul. I'm not here for the numbers. I'm here to hopefully help people with their point of view long term. And hopefully, you know, maybe get it to a point where you guys can sit at home and not have to worry about going to work either eventually. And you can play with house money as well. Like, you know, again, not trying to sound shitty, but that's what I'm trying to do. So that's what I'm seeing in the traditional mogul markets. The DXY showing a little bit of a pump today, as we expected, coming down to 101.1, which is the section of the chart that we've been sharing for a long time. We told you guys that we were going to be threading and bouncing off of that. Usual, if you look at the past, again, daily time frame, right? If you look at the past, 101.1 is basically an average of resistance that we hit back in, let me see here, December of 2016, all the way through March or in April. And then we hit it yet again on March of 2020 before the Corona dump. And now, again, previous resistance turning into current support short term, probably going to falter there. And if you look at the weekly time frame for the DXY, we're probably going to come down eventually to this overall point of support that we've been trending in since 2008 to now, which is an like crazy amount of time to be in an uptrend. But we're probably going to come down to and retest 93, right around 93.4 to 93.5 before ultimately starting a new downtrend, guys. Again, go and take a look at things on the higher time frames, like the weekly time frame for the DXY, which is a dollar strength index, guys. We have multi-year downtrends, five-year uptrends normally. And then if, like, we have a saying, right? If things don't necessarily repeat themselves but rhyme, guess what's more than likely going to happen? We're going to repeat the same patterns that we usually have, which is a multi-year, 5 to 10 year downtrend, five-year uptrend, again, downtrend, five-year uptrend. And then we had from 2001 to 2008, you know, a multi-year downtrend, more than 5 years downtrend. And then we have from 2008 to 2023, where we are right now, the longest uptrend that we've ever found ourselves in, because we were hyperinflating the markets. We were hyperinflating the markets. Jimmy, fuck off. I don't like you, so no. But anyway, yeah. So like, guys, like, you know, it's just one of those things. You got to zoom out on things and realistically understand where you guys are. So we've been in this multi-year uptrend. Guess what's more than likely going to happen? We're going to go and find ourselves back into a downtrend, especially with the fundamentals looking the way they are in the markets in the world, right? People running away from the dollar. It's going to, I think, more than likely, guys, I think we're going to find ourselves going into this multi-year downtrend, having to reset everything for our U.S. economy. And then, you know, and then we'll find out what happens in a decade from now. But I realistically, like, if you can tell me why this would reverse, the DXY, why would it reverse and find itself in an uptrend gaining strength? Please, by all means, come up here and tell me what's going to pump the dollar back up. What's going to change the world's mind and everybody else to pump the dollar back up to all-time highs and break this resistance that's been trending since 2008, which is right around, if we pump back up, it would be like 118, right? There is none. Let's be realistic about it. There is no conversation right now that realistically, without somebody thinking that you're absolutely insane, that's going to bring strength back into the dollar. It's just not. The likely scenario is we're going to find ourselves into the downtrend. And if you go on the DXY on the weekly time frame again, I've said it on my streams, guys. I really do think if you go all the way back, look at July, right around July 1985, right? I think we're there. When we peaked out, we had a downslide. We had a little bit of a rally right there. It's right around May. When I zoom in, it's right around May. It's April, May, right around that same time frame of where we are right now, where we had a huge dip, then we had a little bit of a rally, and then we just no hope at all. We came all the way down, eventually ending it, like way further down than where we were there. And then go back and take a look at the last time we rallied, guys, 2001. 2022, when we faltered, we came back down right after topping out for a third time in 2001. We came down with a slippery slide, got underneath the 200 SMA on the daily time, or I'm sorry, the weekly time frame for the DXY, had a little bit of rally, showed that red X pop up when we tested the 200 SMA on the weekly time frame, and then we slid all the way down to Hades. Like, you know, that's just, I think we're right around those frames like we were in the past, currently in the charts. Like, that's where I think we are. Look at it. It's very similar. We slide, have a little bit of a rally, and then we slide even further. I think we're in that phase. I could be wrong, so not financial advice, right? This is just me. When I look at it as an investor, when we're in this kind of landscape of a recession and whatnot, people with money that have the option to get into investments rather than holding that same fiat money that's going to be losing purchasing power long term, you need to use that opportunity to buy investments that are probably or more, hopefully more than likely, right? Nobody knows, but hopefully more than likely going to gain you value or at least protect your value in your portfolio long term. You don't want to hold on. Like, what the fuck are you going to do? Hold on to that dollar? That's crazy. I want to buy land. I want to buy gold. I want to buy options. I want to buy, like, you know, not options like that, but I want to buy, you know, stocks and whatnot. I want to buy crypto. I want to buy things that have the potential for me to hold on to my value or hopefully grow that value long term. The moment in the charts is coming up, or it's already been here in front of your face. You really got to start thinking about it long term, zoomed out, further out, right? So again, guys, that's what I'm seeing in the traditional mogul markets. We got about 5 minutes. Again, I apologize. I totally goofed about the time to bring Leap up here. But soon, in about 5 minutes, we should be joined by our friends from Leap. Again, hopefully I was entertaining and informative enough, or at least gave you some food for thought. I don't care if you guys believe me or not. It's just food for thought for you guys to digest. Backtest it. Challenge me. Go out there and prove me wrong. I don't care. But it's just, you know, my ramblings, my food for thought for people to digest, to use it going forward in their own journeys. I'm not giving out financial advice. I'm doing me. You do you, boo-boo, right? But yeah, we're going to have Leap Wallet here in a couple of minutes. I just got it confirmed. They should be here in a couple of minutes. Chris, actually, while I have you and Chad up here, have you guys used Leap Wallet? Let me ask you guys, do you guys have any questions at all for Leap before they get up here?
I actually do have Leap Wallet. It's actually very sleek and very, I love the UI. I love the little notifications I get. Like, it's actually pretty cool when I do something like on my PC and I like transfer something or I do a swap, I get a little notification like X was transferred to your OmniFlix account successfully, or X was transferred to your Juno account successfully. I do like that they have some dApps there. I wish they would get some more dApps on there, like, you know, Cosmo Station has. But you can still search their web, I believe, and go to the dApps through the actual web portal on the app. So you can still use it. It's a sleek wallet. I would suggest people to download and play around with it and see how they like it.
Yeah, the download, man. Like, it's so funny because our job, well, at least I feel like my job, one of them, as far as somebody who speaks a lot. I hate using the word influencer because I'm definitely not trying to influence anybody on anything. I just, you know, give out ramblings more than anything. But I think all of our responsibilities is to educate people on you know, the ease or how to create a wallet. And like, I think Leap is so, like, maybe I'm kind of biased because we've been in a space, but it's like one of those super easy, go to their website, get Leap, go to where it says, I think it says literally get Leap. Yeah, it says get Leap. Click that little green button and it brings you to a, depending on what browser you use, it brings you to a web link wallet for a web browser. And it's so simple. I thought Leap was one of these most simple, like, fluid ways of creating a wallet. It was so easy. I don't think there's any way that they could do that easier. But absolutely easy, seamless way of getting a wallet and to help you get into crypto, you know, if you're not trying to take the centralized exchange route. And even if you did, like, you know, I'm still always going to advocate for self-custody and you want to get off of the centralized exchange. Super, super easy. Super, super easy. Chad, do you have anything? Have you ever used Leap?
I'm on the opposite end of Chris. I've heard of them and I've never used them. So I'm looking forward to the conversation between you guys.
No worries. No worries. Yeah.
Another cool thing about Leap that I like is that they have a lot of chains on there natively. Like, you don't have to, like, Cosmo Station, you have to, like, create a wallet, I think, on that chain to, like, have it there. You have to actually do it. And I don't know about Kepler. Like, I haven't really added too many chains to mobile Kepler, but
do you have all three?
What's up?
Do you have all three? Do you have Cosmo Station, Kepler, and Leap?
Yep, I have all three.
So no. Like, be real about it, okay? Just because we're going to be talking with Leap, I am curious, genuine question, and I want a genuine answer. Which one's your favorite so far?
To be completely honest, Leap is definitely a close second right now, just because of the fact that I've been using Kepler just of ease. But Cosmo Station is definitely third. They've been slow to come with things, and a lot of the times I've gone to use and tried to purchase something through the Cosmo Station app with like OmniFlix, my transactions failed or didn't work, and I've missed out on things. Kepler still needs to integrate a few more chains and marketplaces on to make them more popular. But Leap's climbing fast. Completely honest, Leap's climbing fast to be my favorite wallet.
Nice. Well, we do show that we have Leap, our guest here. And again, I apologize. I got so used to going live that I just went live. It gave us time to chill out. So we're going to be kind of focusing. And if you guys don't mind, Chris, Chad, you guys are my mods normally for the channel. So you guys are free to stay up here if you like. Matter of fact, I can hit you up with the co-host along with Leap if you guys would like to help us out. But we're going to focus on over and give the mic to Leap. Leap, welcome to the stage. We started a little bit early. Apologies about that. Totally on me. Super excited to have you guys up here to talk about your wallet and what you guys have been doing. I guess I should ask you, do we have anybody else joining us today? Oh, we got one.
Hey, everyone. Hey, Tank. Yep, we have Varun, our product lead, who will be joining us in a minute. Yeah, he's here.
Yeah, I got him here. I'll get him up here. Chris, I'm going to send you a call just in case as well. If you don't mind, let me know if that's a...
Yeah, it's fine. Go ahead.
All right. I think there's a little bit of lag here. I'm super excited to get to talking with you guys. Let's actually start it off correctly. If you don't mind, introduce yourself to the people and we'll go from there.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll start first. And first of all, definitely super excited to be here and chatting with the rest of the cosmonauts in the same way about us, interesting us, our team, Leap, even more. So to begin with, I'm Kaushik. I head growth for Leap. I'm currently based out of Hyderabad, India. I've been in the growth and business strategy space for the past 6 years, primarily in the few consumer tech startups in India. I've been dabbling around Web3 for the past year, and last November is when I got introduced to Leap through Sanjeev, who is our founder and CEO. And since then, been building with the team, and been having the most best time since then. Yeah.
Awesome. Abran, do you want to jump? If you want to, everyone jump in. Just go ahead and jump on in.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, folks. Good to be here. And I am Varun, and I head product for Leap. So I have been in the product space for the past 7 years, and I was previously heading product for an edtech startup in India. I have been around in the Web3 space for the past few years, and similar to Kaushik, chatted with Sanjeev back in 2021 and got introduced to Leap, and it's been an amazing journey ever since. Especially once we've moved to Cosmos, it's been the most fascinating last 8-9 months for us, and really excited to be talking to everyone involved in this space.
Awesome. Yeah, a lot of people are super pleased with Leap. We were just talking about it before you guys came here because we had a little bit of time. Obviously, I don't know if you guys heard us speaking, Chris and I. A lot of people absolutely loving using your guys' product. Now, it's really interesting that you said before you guys came to Cosmos. If you don't mind, let's actually start from the very beginning. Could you guys give us an intro, like kind of like the background and your journey to Cosmos? Tell us everything about your guys' origin story with Leap.
Gotcha. I'll take that. Basically, we can probably start with, let me introduce what Leap is, right? And basically, our vision and which directs most of what we do in terms of product, in terms of growth here, is to be the super wallet for Cosmos, right? And on that journey, basically, what we have built is a non-custodial crypto wallet for Cosmos. And we currently support 50 plus Cosmos chains natively across 4 of our wallet products, which includes our browser extension, native iOS app, Android app, and a web dashboard, right? And like I said, I think as a part of getting to the journey of becoming the super wallet for Cosmos, which essentially means we want to act as one-stop gateway for all on-chain transactions and activities, right? Basically, as a user, which is most of the folks in this space, you can manage your portfolio, send tokens, send them across IBC, state them, access different DeFi primitive, different opportunities that are there, vote on governance proposals, manage NFTs, everything, right? All of these we want to make them happen all within one single wallet experience. And basically, how we did this is, you know, we built this to a base layer of experience on which we have been integrating all the other dApps. For example, we have, Barun will share a bit more details through this space. But yeah, we have Osmosis inbuilt within our wallet, right? You can swap your tokens through Osmosis directly within our wallet. And recently, we released one more feature, which is probably our biggest feature, is dApp Browser, where right now any dApp on Cosmos can now be accessed on our mobile app. And that's the idea, right? We want to be that one place where everything you would want to do as part of your Cosmos journey right within the wallet. And that's what we mean by super wallet, right? So coming to our journey, we started building wallets at the end of 2021. That's when, you know, Bibarun, me, and most of the founding team joined Leap, and we started building a wallet first on Terra with a very similar vision. And we quickly found a, you know, core, very strong core user base of 50K users who kept on giving us feedback, through which we improved our wallet quite significantly there. And then, of course, you know, Terra Deepak happened. And then what we realized when we came, you know, the team came back to the drawing board, and what we realized is we had the right insights and experience of building a very high quality wallet experiences. And then started
looking. Am I losing him? Am I the only one?
Sorry, are you listening to me? Can you hear me?
I hear him fine, Tank.
Yeah, I hear him fine.
Oh, gotcha.
Kushik, hold on 1 second. Chris, hold on 1 second. Chris, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear him fine? He seems to be cutting out.
I hear him fine on my side.
Okay, if you don't mind just going forward, if for whatever reason, let me know if like it's something there. I'll let you go on. I'm sorry, Kushik, go ahead. It was breaking in and out for me.
Yeah,
I'll let you know, Tank.
Yeah, no worries. Yep. So like I was saying, we had the right experience and insights on building the high quality wallet. Then we started looking for new home for Leap. That's when we spoke to, you know, Juno team, spoke to Sunny, got a grant from Juno and Osmosis. And basically that's what launched our journey on Cosmos last June. And I think since then, like where we were probably starting with a couple of chains to where we are right now, every day it has been learning experience, chatting with every other cosmonaut who has been building in this space. So yeah, it's definitely a perfect time to be on Cosmos right now. Yeah, that's been our building journey so far.
Let me ask you something, because of course, like starting in Terra and then having what happened with Terra happen, how close was the team was the team ever close to saying, you know what, like, let's just scrap it? Or was you guys dead set from the start that it didn't matter, you guys were going to push on?
Actually not. I think that's one thing, if I now in hindsight and when I look back, it's probably one of the craziest experiences. Like even when whatever happened, I mean, we looked at the community, it was pretty difficult times for everyone. But even once, we never had the thought that, you know what, you should scrap this. We believe that, hey, this is a big problem. Wallet, making a really user-friendly with a great UX wallet, we believe it's a core component of blockchain, you know, adoption that is to be solved. We need a really great wallet for solving for the onboarding problem that is currently there in Web3. And we believe that, hey, we have the right insights. So actually, I think Barun can add more on that part. But yes, we never had that thought that we should scrap this. Always felt we had the right insights, and wallet is a key problem that needs to be solved.
I 100% agree. Let me ask you, since you were talking about the team, how many people are on the team actively?
Barun, you want to take that?
Sure. So currently we have still a very small team. Our team is core, majorly engineers. So I'd say we have like 8 full-time engineers at this point. And the total team, including part-timers and consultants, would be close to 15 people who work remotely.
Cool. With that being said, now that we've kind of gave people a really brief intro of Leap, what it is and what your guys' goals are, which I completely agree. We were talking about it early. We need a fluid, easy wallet, super wallet. I like that you're saying that super wallet to describe it, to help onboard people, especially within the Cosmos ecosystem. But now that we have kind of a brief idea of your guys' focus, what you guys are committed to and your guys' journey here into the Cosmos, like I want to say that it's funny because Terra was it's the one and the same, but officially now here into the Cosmos. And now we've learned a little bit more about the team. Tell me about the products and features. Can you guys give us an overview about, you know, a little bit more, or maybe a little bit more detailed overview about what you guys and what separates you guys from your competitors?
Sure, I can take that. So we'll start off with a very brief overview of the products that we have, and maybe jump into what separates us from, let's say, Kepler and Cosmos Station out there. So starting off with what products we have, we currently available across three form factors majorly. So obviously we started off building the browser extension to begin with, and that is what has been live for the most maximum amount of time. It's been 8 months since it's been live. Post that, we launched our mobile apps as well, both iOS and Android. And recently, a month and a half back, we launched our web dashboard. So currently present across all the form factors. Post that, we support more than, as Kaushik mentioned previously, we support more than 45 chains at this point across each of these form factors. And we have scaled to over 200,000 users at this point. So so that's what the basic product division is for us. So when we started building on Cosmos back in June and July, three more major things stood out for us as to why we started building out on Cosmos and what would be our differentiator going forward. So we've been using Kepler for the longest time as well when we were on Terra, because that was the only wallet that out there. And we really like how simple it is for users to use. But where we felt it lagged, or where we felt like users would need other solutions, first of all, is mobile experience. And we didn't fill it just for the wallet. We felt like the overall mobile experience back in June of last year for the entire Cosmos ecosystem was quite below par. And everyone was solely focusing on having desktop applications, desktop wallets. And this is where we felt like mobile is something that we will definitely push for very hard. We'll try and build a very good mobile experience to have bridge that gap between users trying to use any or any application, any Cosmos application on their mobile browser, or in fact inside the Leap mobile wallet browser as well, right? So mobile was one of the key things for us. The second most important thing was to June, there was like a very limited amount of chains that were natively integrated in onto Kepler. And for every other chain, you had to do a suggest chain, for example. And this is where we felt like we would definitely from day one have the vision of adding pretty much each and every chain that is trying to build on Cosmos natively. So be it a chain that is still on their DevNet testing things out, be it a chain that is currently on the testnet trying different things to lure, acquire users, or finally when they have their mainnet launch, we want it to be the choice of wallet from day one, right? From day zero, whenever they decide to build a chain on Cosmos. So native integration of chains, supporting DevNets, supporting testnets was one of the key things that we wanted to support from day one as well. And finally, the thesis around super wallet that Kaushik mentioned, right? So not just having to see your balances, token balances in your wallet, we wanted the users to have perform pretty much all the core transactions, core actions that they can do on Cosmos through Leap browser, right? So that they do not have to go to various different dApps to do all of the basic things every single day, right? So everyone wants to stake, everyone wants to vote on governance, everyone wants to do IBC and send. These are like the three most basic things that people do on Cosmos. And each of these things at bare minimum should be supported within the wallet is what we felt. And on top of it, things like auto compounding, right? Auto compounding is something that is used so much by users, but people have to go at this point to restake, connect their wallet, figure things around the restake dApp and do stuff there, right? So these are like the three core things that we wanted to focus on. And I would say as it stands today, these are our three major differentiators. On the first, on the mobile wallet experience, I think this personal opinion, and we've had a lot of users say it, but I think we have the best mobile experience out there among all the wallets, where you can first of all access the Leap dApp browser. You can access any dApp on Cosmos permissionlessly. You don't have to go out of Leap mobile to do anything, right? So if you want to do an Osmosis swap, if you want to deposit into Quasar vaults, if you want to do stuff around, say, Atlantic to testnets, or interestingly, if you want to do something on a DevNet that is still yet to be yet to have native integration on Leap or Kepler, you can still do it inside the mobile browser, right? Yeah, Chris, you have a question?
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. Oh, wow. That's pretty cool because I wasn't using, because I've downloaded the wallet and I've been playing around with it. And I always look for like the quickest path there, like Cosmo Station and Kepler have a little button for like the dApps that you get to. But I noticed that you can go through like your web browser and get to the most websites and use the wallet very easily. So that's a good thing.
And I think the one interesting thing that will support there is obviously like Kepler has 6 to 7 dApps, 6 to 8 dApps that have been integrated. Our idea was obviously integrate all of them, right? Everything should be accessible just by one single click. But at the same time, as I mentioned, if our chain is not natively integrated, suggestion is something that works on Kepler on desktop, but we've also added that onto our mobile app, right? So tomorrow, if you want to go to Restake, you want to do staking across a chain that is not natively integrated into Leap, for example, Lum Network, for example, you can actually suggestion on your mobile and add the network to your mobile Leap mobile app and also do transactions, also do whatever you want to do inside the dApp, right? So dApp browser is probably one of our favorite things that we've added to the mobile. And secondly, push notifications, right? I think push notifications is probably one of the most key features that was missing from Cosmos. And this is something that we've brought in from our Web2 experiences. We know that push notification is crucial to every application on Web2, but sadly, there was nothing on Web3 for push notifications on the other wallets. And this is what we wanted to solve as well. So currently, as it stands, we support push notifications for over 40 different chains, and we are adding the other 5 chains that are in pipeline. And you will get a push notification for every governance proposal that goes live, every staking or unstaking or redelegating that you do, every send or IBC transaction that you do on any of these 40 chains. If you have the Leap mobile app, you will be receiving a push notification for the same, right? So yeah, so I think these are some of the key things that separates us out of, apart from these, the other wallets in the space. And yeah, that's about it.
I absolutely love, sorry, Chris. I just want to say, I absolutely love the fact when we talk about, you know, or whenever we interview or hear anybody else interview people and they ask them about their products or features, and, you know, obviously like that question, what separates you from others? I absolutely love that you guys are focused on the features that I don't even know are there that but make my life that much more easier. Because even though I consider myself a grinder, like I work really, really hard every single day. I'm up early. I do all these other things. And then I get involved in the crypto. I do all these other things. A lot of people, you know, we all grind. But I'm also being very crucial about myself. I'm very lazy. And I don't want to do a lot of the things that I find myself having to do sometimes. And I absolutely love the fact that you guys are focused on tapping into the laziness of the everyday person and trying to like make that better. Because like we all say, right, like for mass adoption, we got to get it to a point where the people don't even see it happening. They don't even realize all these great features, like we were saying, are actually things that are happening for them, but yet they're utilizing these great features in the background. It's just happening, right? Like I don't want to go and add a new freaking anything. Like I don't want to add a new asset, nothing like that. I want to see wherever I'm hosting on my wallet or holding myself with my wallet or playing with, do it for me. And if, you know, if not do it for me every single time, do it majority of the time for me. And then, you know, simplify that to its really, really dumbest form. And I absolutely love the fact that you guys have been focusing on that. And once again, I do want to say, I absolutely love the fact that you guys are super hyper-focused, it seems like, on the mobile side of things. We're all connected to our phones. It has to be mobile friendly. It has to feel, look like the same thing, but yet function even on the desktop as like I'm functioning on my mobile. And like, if it's a different experience on both, like, you know, I'm not going to name out which ones they are, but if I go to X wallet and try to do, you know, whatever I'm doing on my browser, and then it feels different or looks different or the function is different on my mobile, I hate that. It's too confusing. I don't want to do it. Streamline it. So I just want to say congrats to you guys and don't stray away from that, please. If I could ever give you guys any kind of advice, which, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I think taking away all the experience that we've gained in the Web2 world for the past 7 years, this is exactly what we've been building, right? So take out the Web3 and completely take out the Web3 angle. User experience solving for core product flows, making it seamless for users is something that Kaushik, me, Sanjeev, and everyone else on Cosmos has been doing for the past 7 years. and in some cases 10 years. And this is what we wanted to bring into Web3, because again, we came out with like a very, very basic experience, very, very basic knowledge of what things we are going around. And especially in Cosmos, where there are like 60 chains, obviously the experience starts breaking, right? When you start doing IBC transactions. One very easy thing that I really felt like very hard when I started using it was a send IBC transaction, right? I had to find channel IDs, for example. Right? It was like an horrible experience for me when I wanted to transfer my Atom to a different chain and I had to go to like Mint Scan to figure out what channel ID would be supported, add the channel ID and do a transaction post that. So I think the first thing that we did when we built out this end flow was to abstract the transaction, sorry, the channel ID thing, right? So that's probably the first thing that we wanted to do. And this is what, how we start building features. We do not focus on just having the experience inside the wallet. We try and make it in a way where the UX user experience problems can be solved, right? And also you brought the thing around tokens, and we actually released a version probably yesterday where we start supporting custom tokens as well. And we'll be releasing a version on Friday where you can start sending your custom tokens from your wallet itself. So if you are on a DeFi chain, if you have tokens on Juno, for example, Raw or Wine token, or if you are on Say, for example, and you have like 15 different custom tokens, CW20 tokens, you can see all of them without having to do anything inside your Leap mobile app, inside your Leap extension. You can start sending those tokens using the send IBC function on Leap. And yeah, so I think that is also something that was interesting for us to build out.
Go ahead, Chad.
No, two-part question. A lot of people out here might like it. Being a Ledger user, any issues with that on your wallet? And second part, Tank was talking about being a grinder. What was the biggest hurdle coming over to the Cosmos that you had trouble overcoming?
Yeah, I think the first part, currently, we have not, again, this is something that has been a feature request from day one. We have been a bit lazy in shipping that, having probably prioritized a few other things. So Bluetooth Ledger is something that is still not supported. It's complete. The feature is ready. It's pending testing, and hopefully it will go live in the next week. So that's one thing that we are really excited to ship, which is coming up, definitely happening next week for sure. But you can still use Ledger on your extension as it stands right now. You can add multiple wallets, multiple ledgers, both. You can do both the scenario on extension as it stands and access most of the chains. So two pending things from Ledger are Bluetooth Ledger and support for EVM and secret chain on Ledger. And these two things are going live by next week. So that's on the first part. The second part, obviously a great question on the hurdles that we had to face when we moved to Cosmos. I think the first, the major hurdle that, and also like Kaushik, feel free to add and post this. So while we were building for Terra, it was very easy for us to focus. So it was one single chain. We know like, okay, this is the end state that we want to get to. And this is the path that we want to take. Once we arrived in Cosmos, we had to do this 60 different ways right now, right? So just managing, scaling this across 60 different teams, talking to 60 different chains, figuring out their priorities, figuring out which ones we would like to work with closely and start talking to Osmosis, for example, to bring their decks inside the browser, talking to, let's say, Stride, for example, bringing the entire liquid staking experience into our dashboard. So these are like the things that we had to prioritize at this moment. And I would say like the user experience angle was probably the toughest hurdle, because again, Terra itself is a Cosmos chain. So I would not say engineering wise, obviously it was a bit different, but I would not say it was like an insanely tough hurdle. But user experience is something that we felt was a very big hurdle coming into Cosmos, just going from one single chain to having to manage 60 different chains. And it just gets more and more complicated as people start using more and more chains, right? So there's no aggregated view, for example, within the wallet where you can see like all your tokens in one single page. That is an ideal state we want to reach to, but it's not as simple as it sounds, right? So I would say, yeah, just solving for user experience overall across all the features is something that still is the biggest hurdle out there.
I think you're spot on.
I can't help but think of, I'm just going to be silly for a second, but I can't help but think of you guys coming here and having all those issues. Have you guys ever seen that meme where it's that guy that says he wants problems all the time? It's like we're in an ecosystem that eventually is, you know, just like the cosmos, ever expanding. And so that problem for you guys is going to be ever getting heavier and more complicated. But again, that's the problem of success, right? It's the expansion. And so, like, I love it, though. I hope that you guys always have that problem and struggle with
it. That's right. That's right, Tank. I think what's been amazing, and that's kind of, this is kind of core to our building philosophy as well, is the same principle we applied on Terra, which is build community first, right? Ask the community what they want us to solve and build for that. And that has been our guiding principle right from our Terra times, even after coming to Cosmos. And it has been great, great support that we saw from Cosmos. Like almost every other week, we get this request from the community. And that's what we kept solving for. And that's what actually took us to where we are right now. And yeah, for me, I think honestly, biggest problem would be prioritization. There's so many things to solve, and we are always excited to solve them for our users. So it ends up becoming a pretty priority. How do we prioritize? Which chain do we prioritize? Which dApp do we prioritize? All that, but I think that's a good problem to have. Definitely kept us, all of us, on our toes in terms of learning. Because again, like you mentioned, Cosmos is ever expanding, because that means there's always something new to learn. So yeah, definitely, that's, all of these are good problems to have. So we are glad we are here, yeah.
Right. So we talked about, to kind of keep the topics rolling, because I do have a couple other things I want to ask you guys about. We did touch on up-and-coming products. Is there anything else as far as your products for your roadmaps that we haven't maybe discussed that you guys want to let the community know about?
Sure. I think a few interesting things that are coming up very soon. As I mentioned, one of them is Bluetooth ledger support that we're really excited about. But apart from that, I think, again, we currently have solved for like the core user base, people who already are in the Cosmos ecosystem. But I feel like if we also have to solve for new users coming directly into Cosmos, not having enough idea of how a chain works, how a wallet works, and the current onboarding is not something that would be super suitable for them, right? So social login is something that is high up on our list as well. We're talking to a few security experts and making sure that the way that we want to achieve that is something that is completely secure. We do not have any leakage happening anywhere in the entire process, and just making it five times, just running it through the same thing five times and figuring out that it's completely safe. So social logins is something that we'll definitely are working on, and will be bringing it out as part of onboarding, along with obviously all the onboarding seed phrase, private keys, ledger that already exists, so that we encompass the entire user base rather than just focusing on crypto native folks as such, right? Apart from that, I think one major theme for us in the next coming few months is definitely cross-chain bridging and cross-chain swaps. So there's a lot of people coming in from other ecosystems like EVMs or Solana, for example, Sui, Aptos, or any other ones, right? So this is where we would definitely want to be the hub from which they start their journey. So supporting cross-chain bridges and swaps so that they can, first of all, transfer their assets to Cosmos, and then begin their journey from Cosmos within our dashboard is something that we want to achieve. So that's definitely up on our radar for the next few months. Along with, as I mentioned, aggregated view. That is also something that, interestingly, we are working on and seeing like how we can have aggregated views show all DeFi stuff. DeFi is something that is definitely happening in the next few quarters. So we want the users not just to see their token holdings, not just to see their staking balance, but also to see all their DeFi holdings in one single place. Whether we natively build that experience out right now within the wallet, that's a different question. But a user should be able to see their entire net worth on Cosmos, for example. And that is, these are like the couple of things that we want to solve for in the next few months.
Yeah, Barun just gave a 3-month view. I wanted to add that within 3 days, you can get NFTs on mobile. You'll be able to view your NFTs on Starcase or any other chain right on your mobile. So quick 3-day view there.
NFTs are where it's at. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, that's awesome. DeFi is definitely like, you know, everybody is mostly here because of DeFi at first. I know we're on NFTs now, is like the thing that's holding us together. But yeah, it would be nice to see a great view or be able to just see like a chart when I just pop open my phone and see like, oh, those are my holdings right now. Oh, this is a good day to like, you know, go in and secure some profits and be able to do that all from one app that, you know, like while I'm on the go, because I am definitely a big mobile user. I'm maybe at my computer for, you know, a few hours a day, but I'm mostly on the move working or doing something or running around. And it's nice to be able to open up your app and be like, oh, I have this. Oh, what's minting here? I can go to this website. Oh, I can just click this. Okay, I'm done for now. And I don't have to be like, oh, I have to run home and pump on my computer and sit here and do everything.
Absolutely. And that's the goal that we have. That's exactly why we're trying to solve for it. And we will have our designs ready in like a week or so. We'll definitely make sure that we send them across to you folks as well, so that we can get good feedback from you guys as well. And high up on our roadmap, we'll start working on building it very soon. And hopefully in the next few months, you actually start spending 2 hours on the day on your mobile, just checking out your portfolio.
So I got another question, but I'm going to watch community, watch this. I'm gonna say something, okay? But I'm gonna keep it real though. I'm going to keep it super real. I love Leap because you guys have always, like you said earlier in the conversation, you guys are trying to listen to the community and build on based on what the community is giving back to you. You guys seem a lot more, as far as the wallet goes, a lot more engaged and a lot more in touch, or at least having your finger on the pulse with the community. With one of the things that you just recently said, hopefully, you know, reaching out to those ETH and other ecosystems like Solana and whatnot, and then bringing them in, because we're seeing a lot of other ecosystems, other TVLs start finding the utility, the lure of being in the Cosmos ecosystem, whether they're other dApps developers, whether they're NFT project developers or whatever they are, we're seeing them come, right? And of course, you guys want to be the super wallet. I'm just going to be real. Do you or have you guys ever considered teaming up with content creators, people to help that mass adoption, to get the word out? Because we see, and I'm just being honest, we see with the competition, Cosmos Station doesn't do it. Kepler doesn't team up with anybody at all. Have you guys ever considered doing that so that your reach is known more? It's all about advertising, right? Have you guys done anything like that? Are you guys in works with anything like that? Because if not, IBC again would love to.
Perfect. Thank you, SS. I mean, we do reach out to folks within the Cosmos ecosystem still to, you know, to explore these content partnerships and more, right? So yeah, probably we need to have a chat and see where it goes. But yes, again,
you guys saw what I did there, right?
Right. But so far, the focus has primarily been within the Cosmos ecosystem, spreading the word about Leap within Cosmos. But yes, we started, like Barun mentioned, from product standpoint, we are definitely starting to look outwards now. How do we solve for new users who are coming to Leap? Similarly, on the content standpoint also, we have the similar strategy to match it. So yes, we will probably start doing that more as well. Because I'm sure like lot many users are going to come to Cosmos, and the first question they're going to do is, where do I start? This is very different to what I'm used to.
Yeah, they're going to see it on content creators, right? Like, again, and to be very honest with you, it doesn't have to be IBC, it doesn't have to be me. I would like to see these things start happening for, you know, or at least these providers of services start thinking about it, because the first thing that they're going to see is there, you know, if you're coming from Solana, or if you're coming from Cardano, or if you're coming from wherever you're coming from, and you want to learn more about the Cosmos ecosystem, well, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to go either to Twitter or they're going to go to YouTube, and they're going to see Sito, Joe, myself, Don, but they're going to, like, you know, and if you see their content, but then they see, like, I'm just saying, right, I'm just putting it out there, could be anyone. And, you know, in partnership with Leap Wallet or Kepler, or could have been any of them. I think that's a big missed opportunity that a lot of the service providers haven't been utilizing.
Yes, definitely, Tank. I think we should have a bit more detailed one. We'll see if we can have a chat sometime this week itself. But yes, we are definitely exciting. We're always in lookout for folks who can help us out with content. And I think I personally think the best part about Cosmos community is they're very involved within the community. And I think they are the best teachers. Right, if someone else comes in newly to the ecosystem, I think there's no better way than to talk to the folks who are already being in the ecosystem. So yes, let's chat and see if we can do something here. Yeah.
Yeah, I always have a saying, and I tell everybody, I think the Cosmos ecosystem, the IBC gang members or Cosmonauts, like, you know, not dogging any other ecosystem, but I really do think the vast majority of the members are people that have definitely still been here or cut above the rest, because they get into those really like weeded, deep wooded conversations where they're not scared to hash it out and like explore, you know, the unknown or the hard topics. But anyway, to kind of move on from that, as far as community, especially right now, and I don't stray away from, you know, the comments or the obvious or the elephant in the room. There's a lot of distrust, a lot of, I don't want to say distrust also, but like maybe it's a better word, a lot of concern or, you know, hesitance from parts of the ecosystem. As far as that goes, as far as community trust, community involvement, can you speak on that? And also kind of like, what is the wallet security look like? What kind of confirmations can you give people and build trust with the community on that front? What does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, I'll take that. Again, first of all, as a wallet builder, you know, security has always been top of mind for us, right? So on the outside, we are a completely non-custodial wallet, which means we never have access to any of the user's keys. Right? It's their own keys and their own coins that in that way. And since we started building on Cosmos, one key theme that always kept coming back is open sourcing, and which we acted on a couple of months ago. And as of today, as it stands, our key management part of our code base is open source, both for extension and our mobile apps, right? Which means, again, anyone can go see how we handle actually those keys. Do we send it to our network? We don't. All of that stuff, right? So it's completely visible. Anyone can go and look at our libraries there. And second thing is, we have also completed our audit by Halban, probably one of the best, you know, security firms out there. And again, the report is published and it's there on our website. And the third thing, most important thing, is our rest of our code base will also go open source sometime in the next 2 weeks to 4 weeks horizon, right? So within 4 weeks, you should definitely see the entire Leap will be open source. And yes, and then we are always on top of our security, not just within Cosmos, but across the Web3 ecosystem. Recently, there's something happened with Trust Wallet, and we went immediately on what exactly happened, tried to understand whether we are vulnerable to it and we are not. So this is something that we always keep thinking about and act at highest priority on this, right? So yes, we are definitely committed to be the most secure. Again, there's no, honestly, I think there's no point building a super wallet with all of this feature if it's not secure enough. So yes, I think security is the top most priority here. Yeah, and we stick to the best in class guidelines and building principles there. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. I'm gonna ask the hard, well, I don't think it's that hard of a question, but do you guys mind speaking about how is Leap Wallet, how do you guys as a company or an entity, how do you guys sustain yourselves? How do you guys bring value back to yourselves? What does that look like for you guys?
Hey, probably I'll take that and let Barun add more. As of today, we have two sources. One is, we have raised our seed round just before Terra collapse, so we had good amount of that left in the bank when during the crash. So that is one part to which we are sustaining ourselves. And second part is, we have raised grants from Juno ecosystem, Osmosis, from Secret, etc. And that is second source of our revenue for sustaining ourselves at this point in time, right? While the second part, I think in terms of more of a longer term view on sustainability, I think there are 2 to 3 ways through which wallets have figured out their revenue model. Example, if you take MetaMask example, they have built the simplest swap experience. And once the volume has increased, they got a bit of pie of it and started making money out of it, right? I think there's few established ways, financial models for a wallet, which we also are definitely want to, you know, build along those lines and sustain ourselves in future. But at this point in time, I think we have sufficient funds to survive for a good amount of good number of years. And that's why our focus right now, like Bharun mentioned, is completely on user experience. Build the best wallet. I think the rest of the things will fall in place. That's the principle here, yeah.
Okay, bro, did you want to add up onto that at all?
Sorry, guys, I missed that. But I think Kaushik covered most of the points. And we'll definitely start looking at revenue sources very soon. We're already discussing it. And will hopefully start being revenue positive very soon, right?
Yeah, it's just one of those things. And, you know, it's the hot topic, or at least it's been, at least for me, for a while. I'm all about sustainability. I'm sorry, my phone keeps going off with these god-awful Telegram notifications. I see you, Shroot. It's you, Shroot. So active on Telegram. But so that's always been one of my things, right? And I think it's good, even though you guys have a long-term amount of funding still to pull from right now. It's good to get ahead of that before it's too late. Like, we see a lot of entities, doesn't matter what they're doing, could be a wallet, could be a dApp, could be whatever it is, right? Like, they get funding and they have a strip going for quite a while, but then it runs out really typically quickly for market conditions, or you know, maybe sometimes it's even reckless spending. They just weren't thinking about it because they think that this faucet is always going to be on for them to pull from, and then it all collapses from underneath them. So I would just like, you know, I would like to always urge sustainability practices for businesses to think ahead. Like, get, you know, just because it's there now, think like it's not going to be there in double that amount of time. Like, think that it's going to go away quicker than it you think it's going to last. So it sounds like you guys are on top of that. So that's what I want to ask that for. Going into, and I think we kind of covered this, one of my last questions before, if you guys don't mind taking some community questions, if there's any, how can the community help you guys and how can they get involved?
Gotcha. I'll take that. And it's the right time. I just noticed Ambedo is also part of this space. So quick shout out to him. He's one of those users who have been with us since the beginning, you know, helping us out, giving feedback and not spreading a word about us. And I think in general, I think community support, that's one thing that we definitely request everyone. Any problem that you might have currently with your wallet experience, let us know. And we will work hard to, you know, solve for them. So please share it. Please keep sharing your feedback, any feature requests, etc. with us, and we will be right on it. And second thing is, if you can help us spread the word, I think at this point in time, I think we have a really good product. Now it's all about reaching out to the nth last cosmonaut to, and, you know, help them try us out. We really believe, I think if they try us out, they'll definitely like us and continue to stick with us. So please help us spread the word as well. And and then a couple of other things. Like, for example, if you can't see connect to some of the dApps we're working with, we're working very closely with the dev teams for these dApps to add connect to leap option there. And again, any push from the community will also help them prioritize this part of it. So yeah, definitely, I think these are the few things. Keep giving us feedback, talk about us more within your friends, and let's build the best wallet, best Cosmos wallet together.
Awesome. Let me ask you guys, do you guys have a couple of minutes? We have about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes to go still. I'd like to open it up to any community questions. So if anybody has, you know, if you guys are up for it, if anybody has any questions or comments, or you guys would like to just shoot the breeze, this is the time that I'd like to open it up if you guys are up for that.
Yes, please. Definitely excited.
Okay, well, go ahead, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just a quick question. I don't know if you went over this or had this on your... Actually, two questions. The first one, did you ever think of putting like two-factor authentication in for your app? That's one thing I kind of like with a few apps. That gives me a little more peace of mind. And also, on your staking side on the app, are you going to eventually have a button for compounding and redelegations? I might not have seen that, if you can explain that.
Yeah, great questions. So first of all, coming to the 2FA on mobile, this is something that actually came up as feature request a couple of weeks back. And this is something that has been added to our roadmap. So we should be very soon having the 2FA on mobile. Coming to the staking experience, I still feel like we do have staking, unstaking, and redelegating at this point on both extension and the app. But I still feel like there's a lot more to do on the staking side. So what we have done is on the Leap board, on the Cosmos dashboard that we have, we already have integrated auto compounding from using restake. We already have implemented liquid staking. You can directly check out both of these inside Leapboard. What we've also done is we start showing you your jailed validators on top. For example, if you want to do something with your funds, we also show you validators that are skip enabled, for example, if you want to delegate specifically to them. So all of these things have been added to the Leapboard already, and the designs are in progress, and we'll be soon moving all of these to the extension and the mobile apps as well. So very soon you should be able to do all of these within the context of both extension and the mobile app. And the vision there is very simple. If you want to do anything using anything that is at all related to staking or liquid staking, you should be able to do it from within the wallet in a seamless way. And that's something that we'll definitely achieve and hopefully in like the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Awesome. Slowly moving up on my list is the number one wand. I'm going to be using from now on because, like, my whole thing is ease of use and how efficient can I be with my time. And if I could do all these things with one thing, that's a game changer.
I just, like, give me NFTs. Give me a really functional wallet for NFTs as well. Oh, man.
Yeah. Imagine if we start getting staking pools with NFTs too. Like,
pools is something that is already, like, at least Osmosis pools is already up on the leaderboard as well. And I think pools will definitely come in as part of the invest section, the DeFi section that we want to build. The NFT thing is definitely a bit tricky with all, especially on iPhone and iOS app store is not easy to work around with. But we already support NFTs for Stargaze, for Mars, and for Say on the extension. And as Kaushik mentioned, these three will go live, hopefully, if App Store does not make a mess of it by the end of the week. So, yeah, and we'll definitely, as more and more NFT support, we're working closely with Stargaze, other NFT chains, and making sure that all the NFT, and there are like many interesting things around NFTs, right? Notifications is something that will be very cool. And that is something that we're also talking to Stargaze and figuring out what interesting stuff can be done there, and we'll definitely have cool stuff coming up around NFTs very soon in the coming months as well.
Awesome. We got Homestead up here. What's up, Homestead?
Hey, Dink. How are you today?
Doing well, my friend. Doing well.
What you wanted got? To weigh in on the NFT mobile side of it. Totally agree with what Tank said about mobile availability being something that needs to be like a main focus for wallets at this point. I do most of my stuff away from my desktop just because I like to do stuff while I'm working around the house and stuff, right? And I can do that with my phone in my house on my network. You know, I'm not saying everybody should be using their mobile device out on the subway or the bus or, you know, at a concert. Like, obviously, that might be a little less safe, but I love my mobile device. That said, I went back from Leap to Kepler because the Stargaze was unusable for me. I have an Apple, so it's an iOS mobile app. I mean, there were days where it worked fine, but there were days where I would go into Stargaze and it was glitchy on the load time, like even slower than what everybody's used to for Stargaze. There would be days where I'd try and scroll through my wallet and collections GIF teasers would pop up and start playing and I couldn't scroll without closing them. And they would just keep popping up like collection after collection. Like the app wanted me to see every teaser for every collection in my wallet. I saw that you guys just put out a tweet today about you know, Stargaze support and things like that. So maybe it was kind of, you know, in development and in beta for the last few weeks. I am happy to go back to Leap again if you guys have gotten that ironed out. But I'm sorry, I do so much stuff with NFTs, and that is something I have to be able to do on the fly. And so, you know, if the Stargaze side of it's unusable, I can't do it. I'm sorry, guys.
Actually, thanks for bringing that up. So two quick things here. So first of all, obviously, to be honest, NFTs has not been a core focus area for us for the last few months. And this is something that we're actively trying to work on. And this is why, obviously, we have put out the recent tweet. We'll definitely would love to work with you, figure out specific issues that you've faced and iron out all the experiences that might have come up, that have appeared for you on Stargaze Leap browser experience. There had been a couple of issues that were brought to us over the last few days, and those have been ironed out in the current version. So would love for you to definitely give it a go, but I would make sure that our team connects with you and we work closely. Would love to learn about your experiences about NFTs, because personally I am not a very experienced NFT user. So I'd love to talk to you. Maybe Kaushik can set up a chat, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on what your daily experiences are with NFTs, what you ideally look for forward to what your ideal experience for an NFT wallet is, and we'd love to bring that to you very soon. And also at the same time ironing out the issues that you face on Stargaze or any other NFT marketplace out there. So yeah, I'll definitely make sure that we hit you up and connect with you and solve for all of these issues, along with trying to make Leap a much better NFT wallet out there.
I really appreciate that response. And I will say, I should add in there, it's not just a hit piece I'm putting out here. Basically, like everything else, the staking functions, that stuff, the wallet functions for tokens, I liked that. You guys have so much more onboarded than Kepler. Like, I would love to use your wallet over Kepler, but the NFT stuff is the stuff I do on the fly the most. So I need that. I'd be happy to get in the DMs with you. I will re-download the app and see what improvements there are. Absolutely happy to give it a shot again, because Kepler is just too gated. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Homestead, reach into their DMs, man. Love it.
Yeah, super, super thankful for that feedback. I think all the good feedback that we get is great, but this is the kind of feedback that we're looking forward to, making sure that the wallet experience is smooth for everyone out there. And it could be an NFT user, it could be a DeFi user, it could be a different kind of user. And certainly we are at not that stage to go deep into each of these and solve it ourselves. So this is where we look forward to users and talking to them, figuring out what their core experiences are that they look forward to specifically in a wallet, what is missing right now from the Cosmos wallets out there. And this is where we'd love to get in touch with you and try solve it for you. And yeah, we'll see you on DMs very soon.
Yeah, awesome. I could say, sorry, Homestead. I just want to, it's pretty obvious. And I know I've seen a lot of people here. We've always had these conversations, but it's, you know, painfully obvious to a lot of us who are in the Cosmos ecosystem of what's been kind of holding things together as far as communities goes. And it's, you know, it's if you just look down at your phone right now and see the people that are in this room, I think the vast majority, probably 99% of the people have a PFP, which is an NFT for their profile instead of their own picture, right? So like NFTs, I think, are the hottest thing right now and the most unutilized and unfocused thing for a lot of service providers, not just wallets, but throughout the ecosystem. And it's pain, like, I don't know why, but it pains me that so many have not like focused on that. Like, I get there's other things to get done, but like, just like look down, everybody has a PFP of an NFT, their favorite NFT. And I think if you were to actually tap in to that NFT strength or NFT community within our niche Cosmos community, you're going to see a lot more adoption throughout your wallet's performance. So like throughout your wallet. But anyway, yeah, it's just kind of pointing out the obvious. Go ahead, Homestead.
Oh, my last part was just going to be thank you for hosting this space, Tank. We need options. And so I'm glad to, you know, have community spaces where we can hear what else is out there. And, you know, like I said, we need options. So this is great. Thanks for hosting. And I will definitely DM.
For sure, for sure. I see a couple more people down here. I just want to give a quick shout out and say, now's your time. We got about 5 more minutes, guys. So if you guys want to jump up in here or, you know, say even criticisms or your praises, now's the time. Quick shout out to Bands and Beto, Jacob, Shroot, everybody. Terra Spaces, I see Little Gains up in the house. Thank you guys all for being here. We got another person, Kang. Oh, no, Kang. Kang is up here. Let's get him up here. And Jacob. What's up, Kang?
Hey, what's up, Kang? What's up, Lee?
Hey, what's up, Jacob? Let's get Kang up here first because we brought him up here real fast. Kang, you able to speak? Kind of intimidating with that profile picture. I might have to drop him back down. I don't know what's going on. All right, I'm removing you from speakers. I feel like you're going to destroy something. Jacob, go ahead, buddy.
Oh, yeah. So I have a request for Lee. Have you guys looked into DAO? I would love if you guys like fully implement DAO in your interface. And one thing I'm waiting to use Leap, because I'm planning on using, I use Leap kind of like in the browser sense. One thing I'm waiting for Leap in mobile is the Ledger extension, the Ledger device. As soon as that's live, I'll be all in Leap.
Absolutely. As I mentioned previously, Bluetooth Ledger is coming very soon. So hopefully by end of next week, you should have it on mobile as well. Coming to DAO, yeah, I think we've been working with the Juno team. I think Juno team was the first few folks that we spoke to when we started building on Cosmos, and the entire DAO team is we are in touch with them pretty much every single week. We talk to them, and probably our first user request that had come up when we started building the world back in July was to have DAO integration. So as it stands, you can definitely use DAO using within your Leap browser on the mobile app. But definitely DAO in wallet integration is high up on our roadmap as well. We're very closely connected with the team, closely connected with the Juno team, and we'll make sure that in the next few weeks we have necessary DAO in-app integration so that you can easily access them from within Leap rather than having to go to DAO.
Yeah, that's great.
Super high on our road.
That's great. One thing I would like to do also is like for DAO, I have like notification for governance. So let's say you're not DAO, you'll be notified for everything going on. So some stuff like that. So just like some pointer. But I'll try to be more involved with the Leap Cosmos. So I could kind of give some of my advice and stuff to this. I'm big on DAO. I don't know if anybody knows that, but that's my bread and butter. I love it.
Yeah, I think as you mentioned, like that is definitely one of the use cases. And push notifications specifically, we still, I feel like we've just scratched the surface with solving it for staking, send IBC and governance proposals. There's so much more to it, right? The things that you mentioned around DAO, things around liquidity alerts, for example, once Mars is up and running, things like NFTs, notification around collections going live, or bids being placed. There's so much stuff around all of these, around NFTs, around DeFi, around DAOs in general. That could be done on notifications, and we'll slowly be starting to solve for each of them. So liquid staking is something that we solved for in the last couple of days. So our team is getting ready to make notifications live whenever you do liquid staking on Stride, for example, in the next couple of days. We'll be adding more and more notification use cases throughout the next however months we work towards. And yeah, notifications is definitely probably one of my favorite products, and I'll make sure that we add more and more use cases to that. So feel free to shoot us up with interesting use cases, and we'll make sure we keep adding those to the roadmap for push notifications specifically.
Awesome. Guys, Kang, you're a bad, bad boy. Gotta be quicker than that. I knew it. I knew it right when I saw his face. I was like, this is a bad move. Anyway, guys, we are running up to the end of the hour. Apologies for me starting early. What a great conversation exploring what is Leap and what is to come. Absolutely love what you guys are doing. Can't wait to hear more. Can't wait to see you guys keep shipping. Really, if it enjoyed this conversation. And again, I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm going to shoot my shot while you guys are here. Would absolutely love to entertain a conversation with you guys to help get more exposure for the Leap wallet, and also to help, you know, from within the community, get back the feedback that you guys need to push you guys to the forefront to be that super wallet of the cosmos. Absolutely love it. I love supporting projects, teams, individuals who are trying to work with the community and trying to push forward in these times. So again, really, really liked it. Jacob, what's up, man?
Oh yeah, so I just want to add more on what you said, man. Keep doing what you guys are doing with the community aspect. And because if you are building for the community and building the thing that the community wants, I think at the end of the day, the community will back you up over time. So I'm looking forward for you guys' future, but keep doing it. Be honest, do everything the right way, and you'll be rewarded. That's all I know. Thank you for doing this space, though.
Awesome. Before we end out, do you guys have anything else that you guys would like to leave with for the community before we close the space?
Who hit us up on Leap Cosmos, to my DMs. We'll make sure that we talk to you guys, figure out whatever issues you're facing, whatever feature requests you have. And I think that's the only way we know how to build products, is talking to the community, figure out what they want. And this is probably the most important thing for us in the next few months coming up. So definitely feel free to hit us up on any small issue that you find, any small feature request that you have, and we'll make sure that someone from our team reaches out to you and discusses the possibility of that happening on the wallet soon.
Awesome.
Yep.
Anything else?
Yeah, I agree, folks. I think just try our products and, you know, let us know your feedback. And yeah, we are always ready to, you know, build any missing features that you think we our wallet needs. That's how I think we know better ourselves. So again, thanks a lot for Homestead and rest of the folks to share this feedback with us. And thank you, Tank. I think it's been amazing, AMA, and loud interacting with the IBC gang. Thanks for inviting us.
Awesome. I appreciate it, guys. Before I close out, I got to do my friends justice because, like I said, support the people who support you. Definitely follow Leap. You can see them. Just click that little frog right there. Click the little frog. Maybe he jumps. Definitely drop him a follow. Also, I see my man in there, Little Gains. Don't forget to at least consider delegating to Cosmos Spaces. They are a preferred validator for the IBC gang. We absolutely love them. Support them. Support the people who support you guys. And support each other, guys. All these wonderful people that are here in this space, have been here in this space, have been working to pushing this space forward, guys. Follow each other. Guys, let's build. With that being said, I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy your day. Take profits. Peace.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the IBC Gang Market Recap and Q&A with Leap Wallet, hosted by CryptoTank. Recorded on Monday, May 1st, 2023. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Sneaking through back alleys on a little cosplay. Broadway all day, looking like the wrong way. Resuscitating major players in the waiting room. Sifting through the paperwork while I be debating fools. Breaking rules, breaking bad, like we always wait for doom. Slayed a few in my early years off beneath the shroom. Sitting in the dark, waiting for the daily news to let us know what we should believe as the latest truth. Stay aloof, writing rhymes in the studio. Trying to keep it well lit like filming a movie role. Sorting through support from your endorsements. Of course, we're tripping balls. Handed reports it. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of pack of heads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Big thinking energy always gets the best of me. When I kick it in the lab, messing with new recipes. Gotta mix and match, flip the latch, letting rhythm scratch. Dope shit, spitting facts with my vision smashed. Big trip aristocrats, dishing out a list of trash. Missing wisdom, this fish is too big to catch. Better let the missus know where you hit the stash. Watch your next step, bro, before you hit the traps. Walking on eggshells, tripping over landmines. And I'm about done dealing with these damn lies. Man, I'm looking at this planet like a franchise. Chastised into digging holes in the back nine. The latest proof ain't a way to move, change the view. Just a bunch of peckerheads living in a chicken coop. Picking at the dinner, finger licking like the plate is good. So kick it for a minute, then show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Show me what that thing could do. 2 plus 2. Terra Spaces.